Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Baptism of the Lord 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon of those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Give to the Lord, you sons of God. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Adore the Lord in holy attire.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the Lord over vast waters. The voice of the Lord is mighty, the voice of the Lord is majestic.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
The God of glory thunders, and in his temple all say glory. The Lord is enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever.
The Lord will bless his people with peace. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know that the word that he sent to the Israelites, as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, what has happened over all of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me? Jesus said to him in reply, Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, and thank you for joining us on your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to discuss these readings on the Baptism of the Lord. Dawn, as we were talking, you mentioned that you had some thoughts on that last line on the from the baptism, the line where we hear the voice coming from the sky saying that this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Do you want to talk about some of your thoughts on that?
Well, sure. It sort of struck me, you know, psychologists talk about how one of the most basic needs that children need is the need to be loved unconditionally. And as we grow up, we pretend that we don't need love and acceptance from our parents or people around us, but if you're anything like me, that is not true. We all need to feel loved at some point. And so people who don't experience love and acceptance, when they become in a position of power, a lot of times that they use that power in negative ways. And so it sort of struck me as we're thinking about Jesus as he's about to begin his ministry. he's got that same need. He needs to know that he's loved and accepted, and this voice of God from heaven saying, you know, I love you and I am well pleased with you. And this happens again later in Jesus' life at the Transfiguration when they're up on the mountain. God says very similar thing. This is my beloved child with in whom I'm well pleased. He adds the comment of listen to him. But both of those times, it's just that human need that we need to know that we're loved by people around mm-hmm. us.
Yeah, I think that it also points to the theme that I like to point to a lot here, which is the community aspect, that you can't go this alone. This journey isn't one that you can go alone. You need to have people who love you, people who care about you. And it is a necessity that we all have. I think if we reflected on that theme, we'd come to the realization that not only do we need to be loved, but we also need people to love. And so as a Christian who's part of a larger community, or as Catholics who are part of a larger community, we feel not only this, I need to be loved, but also we have an obligation to love other people.
It also reminded me of when we were talking about using power in negative ways, about the line from Spider-Man about with great power comes great responsibility, and I just thought that was connected too.
Yes, and we even did a podcast on Spider-Man, which I believe is on the bishop's site still, probably for the Diocese of Rochester, yes. New York. You could probably go to www.dor.org and find it somewhere. So it's a free plug for us. Good job, Don. One of the things that I was reading on this, and I actually am right now in the middle of taking a course on the Gospel of Matthew, and I actually have a midterm this week.
Ooh.
And the midterm covers pretty much the first 7 or 8 chapters of the Gospel. This is the 3rd chapter of Matthew that we're listening to. And one of the questions that's raised is, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Or why was he baptized? One of the things that the early church struggled with was this fact that Jesus was baptized by John, because in a way it was kind of a scandalous thing for 2 reasons. One being that Jesus was greater than John, so why would John baptize Jesus? And the second being that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and we claim Jesus to be sinless, so why would Jesus need to be baptized? It's really a question that we don't have a strong answer as to the why. There's not an ontological or real reason that Jesus needed to be baptized, and in all reality, he probably didn't need to be baptized. But he does say that he does it because it's fitting for all righteousness. And one of the things that one of the commentaries I was reading on this gospel said about Jesus being baptized is he's still taking that commitment to live according to the way that John's disciples lived, which was to turn away from sin and to live kind of this life of perfection and virtue. In doing this, Jesus is making a public statement of how he is going to live his life. So that's one reason that we could say that Jesus, you know, chose to be baptized. But it is a real struggle for us to understand it, because it is a different baptism than our own baptism. It's not, Jesus is not given the Spirit at his baptism. Jesus had the Spirit with him from all eternity, really. We don't say that it came to him in his baptism. Another reason, though, is part of this here, there's a public revelation of who Jesus is. And that we hear when the voice, that line that you talked about, the voice coming from the sky saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And so part of this baptism is actually for us to understand, who is this person? The reason he is baptized here is so that we can understand who Jesus is. And it's really a preoccupation that Matthew has throughout the gospel, and we'll be reading the gospel of Matthew throughout this year. So for those of us who are following this podcast, one of the themes that you can look for week in and week out for this year is this question of, who is this person called Jesus? You know, who is he? And of course, Matthew is going to try to convince us that he is the Son of God. And so right here we have the voice coming from heaven declaring, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And some of that too, the this is my beloved Son is also an allusion to Isaac, who is the beloved son, who is ultimately, well, he's almost sacrificed. He was brought to the point where he's going to be sacrificed, and then Abraham gets a message from an angel saying, no, go kill the ram instead of your son. And then there's also this line, with whom I am well pleased. And that refers back to the suffering servant in Isaiah. So a lot of times in Mass, and we'll hear the readings from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he's always talking about this suffering servant of God. And the suffering servant is the one with whom God is well pleased. So it gives us kind of an identity of who Jesus is and how he relates to some of the characters in the Old Testament. We can even parallel this dawn to our own baptism today, because in our own baptism, we take on a new identity.
Hey Brian, where were you baptized?
I was baptized on at the University of Notre Dame, out at
Oh.
Sacred Heart, at the, well, it's the Basilica of the Sacred Heart, is what it is now. And I was baptized actually by my uncle the day after he was ordained a priest.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So, and one of the things that I was thinking about there when you're with the baptism idea is it does give us a sense of identity. We're baptized into a community, and anybody who knows me knows that the Notre Dame community is very, very important for me. But also, not just the local parish, but into a larger church, the whole Catholic Church, and into the body of Christ. So we take on a new identity at that point. So this theme of who are we, or who am I, comes out of baptism. For Jesus, we learn that he is the Son of God. In our baptism, we learn that we are members of this body of Christ and of this community, and we too become children of God through our baptism. Now, John, where were you baptized?
I was baptized at St. Vincent de Paul in Churchville, New York, and I had a bunch of people around me, and obviously I don't remember it, but I've seen lots of pictures. I'm the oldest grandchild in a very large family of aunts and uncles, so I have lots of pictures, and but my community is more than just my family, I realize, but that's where it started for me, and there's lots of traditions that go along, not necessarily the candle that we receive, but for example, I have the bonnet that I wore, it was a folded, anyhow, this person made it, and so what you can do is you can take out the stitches, and if for any reason I get married at some point, you can carry this handkerchief around with you, and I know that's a common thing, but it unites our sacraments, it unites them all together, and I think that's a cool thing that some people do.
Yeah, that is kind of neat, the idea of being able to take something from your baptism and have it at your wedding, or when you receive another sacrament. That would be a really cool kind of thing. One of the things that you mentioned that made me laugh a little bit as you were talking about your baptism, you said, yeah, obviously I don't remember it, but I've seen lots of pictures. I think most of us don't, especially if we were born Catholic. A lot of times we're baptized as babies and we don't remember it. But when I was with the Congregation of Holy Cross, a good percentage of the congregation apparently was at my baptism, because it was the day after my uncle was ordained a priest, and so all the guys who were in seminary with him. So it was so funny because people would come up and say, oh, I remember I was at your baptism. And I would have to say, I am sorry, I don't remember you from that. I'm still Brian and you're still. One of the more humorous things that's happened to me. So it was kind of like the Harry Potter syndrome, where everybody knew who I was and I had no clue who anybody was or how they knew who I was. But it is, one of the things, it is one of the great sacraments of our church, because it is, being brought into that larger family. And, that experience too, it's also nice to sometimes be reminded that we're part of this larger family, and that it's not just, my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister, who, I love them very much and everything, but that there's a wider community that I belong to, that care about me, that showed up at my baptism, that I assume probably have continued to pray for me throughout my whole life, and pray for me as I'm preparing for a deacon ordination coming up, and all that kind of stuff. And it's always nice just to know that, going back to your theme of that sense of love and community, that we have that with us, and that's part of our Christian identity. Well, John, I know that we are coming to the end of our podcast here, so I hope that we've shed some light on the baptism of the Lord. People understand Jesus as the Son of God and why he needed to be baptized, and hopefully you can look for that theme throughout the rest of the readings as you join us week after week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.